Grace, peace, and mercy be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from our gospel lesson, the first chapter of Mark. In the passage leading up to our text, after John the Baptist was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And what was his message? The time has come, he said. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. Then Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, he said. I will make you fishers of men. Likewise, he walked a little further, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John getting ready to cast their nets. Mark records, without delay, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat, and they followed him. Thus, Jesus is on the move, and he takes with him his urgent message of good news. He also takes with him four men who would later become future pastors and evangelists for that good news. These are the career-changing fishermen, two of whom would later be referred to by St. Paul in Galatians chapter 2 as pillars of the church. On the move again, they went into Capernaum, and on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to preach. Since the synagogues had no ordained ministers, it was normal for the rulers of the synagogue to ask rabbis and scribes to read and teach the lessons. So it was not unusual that Jesus was asked to address the congregation. Now, what was Jesus' message on this day? Mark's gospel doesn't tell us, but he does tell us about the reaction that the worshipers had to Jesus' message. They were amazed, even astonished at his teachings, for Jesus did not teach as the teachers of the law did. In other words, Jesus did not quote other authorities as was customary for the rabbis and scribes to do at that time. He preached as one who had authority. His authority came directly from God. If history has taught us anything, it is that whenever someone speaks or teaches with authority, there will be those who hear it that will feel uneasy, feel threatened, and even try to rebel against that authority. Authority has always been questioned by mankind, but we only need to look back as far as the 19th century to see where biblical authority began to be called into question. They are known as the critical scholars. These critical scholars began to question all aspects of biblical authority, date, authorship, even accuracy of the stories themselves. And although these early biblical scholars have since departed from this world, unfortunately, many of their false teachings and legacies still live on. Closer to our own time, we saw the devastating effects that rebellion has had against all kinds of authority. Authority seemed to be questioned on all fronts: parental authority, authority of police, and even government, just to mention a few. And in the postmodern decade of the 1990s, authority is just about anything that you want it to be. Jesus and his word are viewed by some as just being one authority among many, while many millions more view Jesus and his word as having no authority at all. Nonetheless, this is the world in which we live. This is the world in which we are commanded to go forth with his gospel of saving good news. Therefore, as future fishers of men, when you leave this place, what will your lives teach? What will our witnesses be? When you finally leave this place and become a shepherd of a flock, will you remember that your teaching and preaching is rooted in God's authority, which is his word, or will you wander from that authority? We can deny, even ignore, Jesus' authority both now and later in a number of ways. First, by placing our confidence in ourselves rather than in the one that we serve. Next, by not giving the biblical text enough of respect when we preach or teach by walking away from it. or when we root our authority as pastors in an appeal to our office rather than in the authority of God's word as his servants. And under his authority, he gives us the Great Commission. He commands us to go into all nations and make disciples. And then in this month's Witnessed, we are reminded that all nations are now on our doorstep. The United States has been and is becoming a huge mission field. Therefore, when you, future fishers of men, finally leave this place, will you take God's urgent message of good news to the lost? Or will you spend your time locked up in your offices surfing the internet? When you, future fishers of men, finally leave this place, will you take his gospel of good news to the unchurched? Or will you waste your precious time criticizing other Christian denominations? Finally, when you leave this place, will you remember that your preaching and teaching is based on his authority, which is his word? Or will you preach with the timidity of the postmodern preachers who believe that their word and their message is just one among many? As you consider these vital questions, I ask you to remember that there are human souls at stake. Speaking of human souls, there was a human soul at stake in our gospel lesson for today. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The place that Jesus encounters his first demon may shock Mark's readers, but it is in a religious institution. Satan works very hard in religious institutions. The evil spirits recognize Jesus' authority. They knew exactly who he was, the Holy One of God, the very Son of God. So they cried out to him, "Have you come to destroy us?" We hear this question hurled at us over and over again by the unbelievers in the world. Have you come to destroy us? Whenever we preach or teach against such sins as abortion, homosexuality, or adultery. Oh, how easy it is for us to back off from the false accusations that we are old-fashioned or behind the times in our preaching and teaching. Or perhaps we are afraid to offend someone's feelings in the pew, so we hold back the truth, which is God's word and his authority. Well, how did Jesus handle this vital question? Have you come to destroy us? Knowing that there was a human soul at stake, Jesus exercised his authority and spoke sternly, "Be quiet, come out of him." And they came out with a loud shriek. Those witnessing the miracle said, "What is this, a new teaching and with authority?" But see, this was not a new teaching, for Jesus did not quote other human authorities as the rabbis did. He spoke with a unique authority because all authority under heaven and earth has been given to him. I like to refer to this as the great I am authority. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. His authority comes from God because he is God. Likewise, our authority comes from his word, and we preach it as his witnesses. The eyewitnesses marveled. Is this a new teaching? This was no new teaching at all. This was the same old teaching and preaching that Jesus was speaking, that we are saved by God's grace through faith alone. And we could find this all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This Jesus of Nazareth is the one that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 18. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything that I have commanded him." Jesus' victory over Satan in verses 24 and 26 was a foreshadowing of what he accomplished for us on Golgotha's cross. He suffered, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of sins, sealing Satan's defeat once and for all. And this is the good news which has eternal authority that we preach as his witnesses. It is good news that continues to come to us today in word and sacrament. Finally, in verse 28, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Doubly convinced by Jesus' miracle and by his word, the people enthusiastically acknowledged his authority. These same people went out with courage and with enthusiasm and sought to win others over to acknowledge Jesus' saving word. We speak also with moral courage and with unique authority, but not because of ourselves. We speak with authority that is rooted in Jesus Christ and his word. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." He later said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time." During this Epiphany season, shining forth is the eternal authority of Jesus Christ. And with human souls at stake, Almighty God will continue to encourage us to take his good news and his message of salvation to all nations. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.